The doctor nobody believed. In 1847, a young doctor named Ignaz Semmelweis worked in a large hospital in Vienna, Austria. The hospital had two maternity wards, two separate sections where women came to have their babies. In the first ward, doctors and medical students took care of the mothers. In the second ward, midwives did. Semmelweis noticed something terrible. In the doctor's ward, the death rate was horrifying. Roughly one out of every 10 mothers died of a fever within days of giving birth. Their temperatures would spike, the fever would rage, and they would die. In the midwives' ward, the death rate was much lower, about one out of every 50. The same hospital, the same city. Women giving birth in rooms down the hall from each other, but in one ward, mothers died at five times the rate of the other. Everyone knew the numbers. The mothers knew. Women in Vienna begged not to be assigned to the doctor's ward. Some women preferred to give birth in the street, literally on the cobblestones, rather than go into the ward where mothers kept dying. The hospital kept records. The difference was clear. Nobody could explain it. Semmelweis started investigating. He compared everything about the two wards. Same building, same kind of patients. Women from similar backgrounds, similar ages, similar health. Same general procedures. The only difference he could find was this. The doctors and medical students in the first ward spent their mornings in the autopsy room, performing dissections on people who had died, cutting open bodies, examining organs, studying disease with their bare hands. Then they walked directly from the autopsy room to the maternity ward, wiped their hands on a towel, and delivered babies. The midwives in the second ward never went to the autopsy room. They never touched the dead. Then something happened that clinched it. A friend of Semmelweis, a professor named Jakob Koleczka, was nicked by a student's scalpel during an autopsy. A small cut on his finger. Within days, Koleczka developed the same fever that was killing the mothers. The same symptoms. The same progression. He died. From a cut in the autopsy room. Semmelweis put it together. Something on the dead bodies, some invisible substance, was being carried on the doctor's hands from the autopsy room into the maternity ward. The doctors were delivering babies with death on their fingers. He placed a basin of chlorinated lime solution, a strong-smelling cleaning wash, at the entrance to the doctor's ward. Every doctor, every student, had to wash their hands in it before touching any patient. No exceptions. The solution was harsh. It stung. It turned their skin raw. The doctors complained. Within months, the death rate in the doctor's ward collapsed. It dropped to match the midwife's ward. Mothers stopped dying. Semmelweis had the answer. He had the proof. The intervention worked, and the numbers showed it. The other doctors didn't believe him. They were insulted. The idea that a doctor's hands, a gentleman's hands, could carry invisible contamination that killed patients felt like a personal accusation. It wasn't just wrong, they said. It was offensive. Doctors were clean, educated, respectable men. The medical establishment pushed back hard. Important professors publicly dismissed Semmelweis. Journals rejected his work. Semmelweis couldn't explain what exactly was on their hands. This was almost 20 years before anyone discovered germs. He couldn't point to bacteria under a microscope. He could only say, "I don't know what it is, but I know that washing it off stops people from dying. The evidence says so. Look at the numbers." They wouldn't look. It took decades after Semmelweis for hand washing to become standard practice in hospitals. Decades during which women kept dying of a fever that could have been prevented with a basin of cleaning solution at the door. Today, every doctor, every nurse, every surgeon in every hospital in the world washes their hands before touching a patient. It is the most basic, most universal rule in all of medicine. And it started with one doctor who counted the numbers, saw the pattern, trusted what the evidence told him, and kept saying so, even when the people with the most power to change things refused to listen.